Live 95 is Cullman's independent radio. And now it's time for Understanding the Law, a show taking your questions about how the law affects you. A show that is a deep discussion on the most common topics that come up in a law office and how the system of law works right here in Cullman County. If you have a question about the law, give us a call here at the Live 95 studio at 256-737-9505. This program is made possible by the support of local Cullman attorney Melvin Hastings. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself, and no lawyer on this show actually helped write that disclaimer. And now, here's your host for Understanding the Law, Big D, Daryl Netherly.
Welcome back to another edition of Understanding the Law, Tuesday, September the 5th. Marvelous Melvin Hastin, Cullman attorney, is in studio along with Stacey George, running for governor of Alabama next year. So, welcome to the show, guys.
Appreciate y'all being here.
Just happy to be here, ain't you?
I'm happy to be here.
So look, you know, we've had some devastation with Hurricane Harvey and now Irma, which I'm sure all the Democrats are saying that Trump is behind all this. So.
Yeah. He's already paid $1 million, you know, out of his pocket for the other one. So, you know, if he doesn't pay $1 million now, you know, it's going to be, it's just sad, man.
What's going on with you, Melvin?
I don't know. It's like a Monday, isn't it?
It's a Tuesday, but it's really like a Monday.
I swear, yesterday, I thought it was Sunday all day.
I know. We had good football games of the weekend.
Yes, we did. The Tide Road and Auburn spanked some butt with Georgia Southern and... Wow, I mean, there was all kind of good stuff going on. Texas A&M losing with a 35-point lead, so most likely, that guy's gone probably here in another couple of days. Who knows?
It'd be tough.
You can blame that on the hurricane too.
I was watching it. It was 44-10, and I turned it to West Virginia Virginia Tech game. I thought, man, that game's over with. And then next thing you know, they won. So
I watched the Florida Gators a little bit. They looked like a high school team.
They didn't do very well against Michigan.
Man, they looked bad. It was. I mean,
Tennessee pulled one off last night.
I watched it to the very end. I couldn't help it. I'm not a Tennessee fan, but they pulled it out. So there you go. That's all that matters. 1 point's all it takes. Just like a million.
Just got to win.
That's it. And that's what.
Nobody cares who comes in second, do they? Not anything, hardly.
No. So Stacey's hoping to come in first with the governor of Alabama and take over that big role and straighten out Alabama. It needs to be straightened out. I mean, it's crazy. We've had politicians in here. We've got more coming. Danielle ran into Big Luther Strange this past Sunday down at Whitlock's at Smith Lake, and she spoke with him, and I guess he's going to be coming to Understanding the Law pretty soon. Sam McClure was in last week running for Attorney General for the state of Alabama, so... It's leaning toward a politician show now instead of a law show.
Yeah,
somehow we've just got away from the law now. It's all politics.
It's boring.
You probably need a lawyer when you're doing politics in Alabama because most of them go to prison or jail.
Yes, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they end up going there. So,
if you win,
a lawyer to keep us straight.
Stacey, if you win, can you carry Melvin with you?
I can see a good use for Melvin. We have this conversation before we go on the air, you know, and everything we talk about, I don't know if we can talk on the air about it, but we agree on a lot of things. So
Melvin will have a big client list, and he'll be living in the Bahamas here pretty soon with all the money that he's going to get.
Yeah. Exactly.
Representation is the name of the game.
That's it.
I mean, how in the world can so many politicians go to prison all the time from Alabama? I mean, I just want to know.
We keep electing them number one. I mean, that's a problem. That's how they keep getting elected, and they get them positions, and eventually, I guess, the greed and the power goes ahead. They just think they're untouchable.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I got that book coming out. You know, we've been working on it. I've written it. Probably the last 3 years been working on cutting these articles out. I've got all these articles and just tons of things, you know, everywhere. So we're putting it all together and you know, I get some people that give me some criticism on it to say, you know, constructive criticism, say, hey, what do you need to do? He said, well, you need to tell more about yourself, and it's hard to do that. So I've got a guy coming in interviewing me. So he's broadening out the base of my George family, my Holmes background,
exactly,
and May background. But it's Corruption in the Heart of Dixie. And Through the Eyes of a Common Man is the name of my book. And it's just 8 years as county commissioner. It's just misuse of money, corruption, you know, a sheriff goes to jail, and then, you know, I've got the ethics filing on the governor, you know. Everybody says, well, who done this? Well, I got all mine laminated. And then, you know, I filed 6 ethics charges against the governor, and 4 of them stuck. 2 of them were dismissed. So they used 4 of them in the 4 charges that he was found guilty on.
Wow.
So, I mean, I filed, you know, ethics complaints everywhere. I filed one on the mayor of Birmingham. This is my latest one, you know, over this monument. Here it is, AL.com.
That fine mayor that they have in Birmingham, and you're doing ethics.
He got beat.
He got beat.
Yeah.
So, you know, I went down and filed it, and I said, you know, they said, well, who's the racist here? I said, he's the racist.
Here we go.
I said, he's the racist because you can't go around tearing down history and heritage in Alabama. And the problem was, I got down there, and I did the next day I was down there, and the news media said, well, this looks political on your part. I said, it's very political. I said, because if I was governor of Alabama, I would take that wall down that they built up around this the next morning after it was built, because it's against the law.
There you go.
You know, it's already against the law. And then ethically, $1,400 of taxpayers' money spent building that wall with labor and everything, and there's no justification for it. So no public use. You just can't do that. So I just want to know, where's all these other politicians? Governor Bentley, he's going through all this scandal. I go down and file all this. Where's everybody else? All these people running for governor knew they was going to run, including the governor now. The governor, Ivey, sitting there as lieutenant governor, never speaks one word about Bentley. Should he resign? Should he not resign?
Look, Stacy, that's one big family down there.
I know it is. I'm just sitting here, you know, and they're saying, well, how do you change Montgomery? You got to fire everybody down there. So I'm not going to rehire. I'm not going to reappoint not one political position. Not one.
I'd fire the pool boy of the little mansion. I'd fire him.
He should have told somebody. The only people I'm going to hire, you know, is people that are whistleblowers. So if you're a whistleblower, you're going to work for me, because we need to tell on these folks, just like in Morgan County. You know, they said Georgia's a troublemaker over there when I was county commissioner every week. What happened? Well, you know what? They're stealing money or they're misusing money. Whether it be in the maintenance department, whether it be the sheriff, or whether it be the garbage director getting free garbage in another county. You know, I laid down the ditch, took a picture of that. The garbage truck goes across there. Well, that's no big deal. Well, it is a pretty big deal when you get 7 years to your sister free garbage. You know, rate hikes. Everybody votes on a rate hike. George, on one vote, no. Every time. You never voted on a tax increase, because unless you need an increase, you shouldn't be charging taxpayers. Right. You should just find a way, like I've done, make $38,000 a year. My wife, thank God, makes more than me. But the bottom line is, we live within it. We just have to find a way to live within the amount of money we have. And I think there's so much waste, and I've saw so many things in Morgan County in 8 years. And then I'm down in the legislature every week. Here's Tutwiler. This is 2010. You know, here we are running, talking about saving money, prisons, $1.5 billion of no bid contracts. I fought that down in Montgomery. You're not being paid by nobody. So I want to know where all these folks that's running for governor, they didn't just decide, you know, last week they were going to run for governor.
Right.
Why didn't they take a position on these different issues, from the monument to the governor to the prison bill?
Because they don't want to get caught up in the stink. You know it just as well as I do.
Exactly. So if you're not wanting to get caught up in the stink, then you don't need to go down there.
Exactly.
You
know what I mean?
So anyway. That's my whole point. But, you know, I don't know. I go over, there's 1,000, I wrote 13 things down on this thing, what we could do better. So I don't know if y'all haven't anything you want to ask me. First thing I'm going to do is I'm going to lower the tax rate on everybody, because I'm going to go back to every annual reappraisal back to every 4 years. Riley changed that. I went out and had about $100 in my campaign, went all the way to Mobile, went all the way to his hometown, and opposed the fact that he put that back in place.
Right.
And he did it from, you know, every 4 years to annual reappraisal, which is going to increase your taxes every year.
Exactly.
And I don't want them on your property, you know, but every 4 years. I'm not going to get mad, and we're not going to run around here with ADEM and figure out if Daryl burned a tire in his backyard by accident. Right. Okay, now we're good, clean health, but we're going to use common sense. You know? So, I mean, and you can do that. You know, as county commissioner, I did that for, you know, 8 years. If I decided not to run for sheriff and got in that mess, I'd have probably still been there. But I decided to take on the sheriff in between terms, and that was a bad move because I didn't have any kind of APO certification like I do now. But I am a correction officer in the state of Alabama, largest prison in the state. So, I mean, there's just so many issues. That's the first thing I'm going to do. I'm going to also remove the grocery tax on the savings from the
DOC. I know there are several states. I think Tennessee is one of them. They don't have tax on the groceries. I mean,
I'm just trying to figure out a way, and this is what I'm going to do every day. This is what I tell people. I promise you I can do every day. Every morning I'm going to get up, and I'm going to figure out how I can save working people money.
Exactly.
So in other words, we can work all day long to bring business in here, and I'm not going to spend all the money. I said this last time, like $15 million to get Remington here in Huntsville. I want to work with the Chamber of Commerce here in Coleman and the elected officials, county commission, city council. I want to know if we can expand some of these business, local business here in Coleman, even existing industry, 3M and Decatur. Instead of coming in and spending this big money, and I love guns. You run a Second Amendment, gun-toting governor. You know, you talk about these things, but the bottom line is we need to help local industry in places other than just Huntsville, Birmingham, Jefferson County, Mobile. Those places are doing real well, but we need to focus on some, you know, Coleman County, Marshall County.
I think here's my thing with bringing in the new industry.
Right.
Okay, you bring the new industry in, you're going to give them millions and millions of dollars of tax breaks, and then you're going to start the employees off at $9 an hour, $10 an hour. Come on. People can't live off that.
No, they can't.
And then we're going to sit there and give them $10 million in tax breaks in the first 3 years, 5 years, whatever, give them free water, free electricity, and the list goes on.
Right.
Wait a minute. These companies are millionaires, okay? I mean, they've got money. Exactly. I understand we need to bring them in, but to pay low wages, it's a waste to me.
I believe that. I believe, and a lot of times we bring them in to compete with existing industry. That's the craziest thing in the world. You bring somebody in to compete with, you know, a company that's already doing their own part, and they don't have these abatements and, you know, the no school tax and the different things that are not, they'll pay the school tax, but the no ad valorem or whatever they do the incentives. Because we've been in Morgan County, and I ask these questions. I'm like, it doesn't have to be the way it is. The only reason it's the way it is because you continue to elect these same people over and over. You know, they get name ID and they work their way in. And, you know, I was down in Montgomery, you know, during the session and this last session, they said, George, you know, you ought to run for that auditor seat or something. Maybe the state treasurer, if Jim jumps up and runs, said, we're not going to let Jim, you know, we're not going to let him win. And I'm thinking, well, Jim's the one that was standing up for us, you know, down there. Right. I was down there with Jim on the ethics and things, and we can't have him in. So the point being is, they said, maybe you get that auditor job, we'll all get to know you better. I said, well, I've been down here for 20 years. You know, you probably know me as well. He said, I think they're thinking maybe we can see a different Stacey George, you know,
right.
Because not a person that wants to know why we're no-bidding these contracts. You know, same thing in Morgan County. If you took what they done in Morgan County, the amount of money they stole and misused, and you multiply that times 67, that's every county.
Right.
And then you start looking at that money wasted. Then you start looking at the legislature. You got 105 members of the state house. You got 35 state senators. And they say, well, how are you going to do this? I said, I know them all. You know, I've been doing this 20 years.
Right.
I know every one of them. And I don't know everything in every one of them's district, but I know them enough to where I know who's good and who's probably not so good down there. And so when you get down there, you got to pass these things.
Right.
Yeah.
And as you know, every community, every county, you have your little cult of people, and they're always going to be in together. Until somebody goes in there and blasts them out of office, it's always going to be this way. And that's just the bottom line. Not only in Alabama, but in other states, and they're going to misuse this money to their capacity to line their pockets and all their friends.
Yeah, I called it in my book, Decatur Mafia. So I always won my district, but in Morgan County, we run at large. Now, Coleman, they do too. You get two, you know, positions, and you run at large. You pick two sides, I think, two places, one chairman. We have four districts and one chairman, and we run at large, but not many counties run at large. And so my district had the fewest people in it. And I won it every time, you know, 60, 70, 80%, you know, at times. But you start getting Decatur in these areas, you know, you get involved. And the Chamber of Commerce looked at me and they said, George, you're in here for something negative every day. It's starting to hurt us here. And I said, well, tell these guys, tell the revenue commissioner to pay her travel advance back. You know, tell the sheriff to quit keeping the food money. You know, I'm not making the headlines. I'm just doing something about it when they do make the headlines.
Right.
So I'm not the troublemaker. I'm just trying. I'm not going to let it go. You know, we got porn on the chairman's computer, and I say, "Chairman, I'm going to do an investigation, make sure everything's good here, and do you have any more porn?" And, "Oh, no, no, no." So we get a forensic guy come in, and, man, this dude's got four movies on there, you know, on the county computer. And so, you know, I said, "My gosh, man." So
he accidentally typed something in, and porn come up.
Yeah, so I said, "My gosh." So here we go, you know, again, and they're saying, "Well, George, you're embarrassed." I said, "No, I'm not. My computer didn't have anything on it, okay? I turned mine in, and some of them did, some of them didn't. You know, the revenue commissioners wouldn't turn hers in. And then poor old Sue Ron is dead now, good license commissioner. She said, "Hun, you can have our computer, you know." And so a few of us turned ours in, and then you had the revenue commissioner, the sheriff at the time, who ended up going to jail for a day for not feeding inmates. He wouldn't give his up, and, you know, there's a couple more department heads had trouble with. But, you know, if you're not doing anything wrong, then you shouldn't be worried
exactly.
about it. So
that's exactly right.
So, I mean, these things are small, but they're not anything, you know, but this monument thing. You know, I told them we should be in these cities if they want to expand, like in Birmingham. I told the mayor down there and on TV, I said, "You should be ashamed of yourself because you don't have anything to do with Dr. King down here, the civil rights movement, the foot soldiers that come across the bridge in Selma." You know, I kicked my campaign off in Selma talking about restoring the bridge in Selma, you know, the Edmund Pettus Bridge, preserving it for history. I said, "You don't have anything here to do with black history." I said, "You should be ashamed of yourself. You're sitting here trying to tear a monument down, and you should be trying to build, you know, other monuments and put them up in your town that has to do with black history." I said, "Not one white person will have a problem with that. But you start tearing that monument down, and there's some white people going to have some big problems, and it's going to be dangerous. You're going to have some black people with some problems, too." And so it never ends, and it never ends there. You know, this history thing is just the starting of it. Right. If the hurricanes hadn't hit, this thing, they'd probably had every monument and down. Now a lot of them are underwater, you know.
Yep, exactly.
I'm not worried about them now. I saw down there the other day, a guy had a boat. He's running down through here in a boat and had a rebel flag on the boat and had 20, 25 black people was on the boat. So, you know, that picture was worth a thousand words. This is not about these flags and these
exactly.
monuments. It's not about racism anymore. This is about the history and heritage of Alabama. And, you know, Governor Bentley took those flags down. You know, I hadn't saw Governor Ivey put anything back up
Lord,
or talk about
no.
that. God help us, you know, we got to see which way the wind's blowing,
exactly.
you know, to see what these politicians do. So, we're, you know, I just get tired of seeing these things because if you take care of them, they go away.
Well, yeah. I mean, but the thing with politics current day
right.
is that you can't go against anybody now. You know, it's all feel good. Okay,
right.
so we're going to go along with whatever anybody says. I'm not going to put that flag back up because I'm going to catch flack, and I'll never be governor of Alabama again.
That's
nor
right.
will I be mayor or any type of elected official. So it's just getting old of going with everybody and doing the right political thing because the left thinks that they're always correct when they're always wrong.
Yeah, and the point being is if you're The you can do these political maneuvers is what I call them. You've got to understand politics and you've got to be strong. You can't go in here and be weak and do something like that. Like say you're not going to take the monument up. The day he put that wall up in Birmingham, the next morning I'd had the state troopers in Birmingham, Alabama, and we could have found some volunteers to tear that wall down. We'd have tore that wall down, give it to the homeless shelter down here in Birmingham where it could do some good, and that would have been the end of it. See, now we're sitting here with a wall. We've had to sue him, but the attorney general, thank goodness, he did a good job. You know, he did. The law's there, but if the law's there, why didn't you go ahead and tear it down
right.
as governor of Alabama? So my point is, what makes me different than other folks is because every time I take action, just you'll see through my book and 20 years in politics, whether I'm a private citizen or whether I'm a correction officer, whether I'm a county commissioner, I've been active for 20 years doing something.
Right.
And that's what you got to have in Montgomery. You got to do something. We're going to freeze all the hiring in Montgomery, everything. ADM, all these agencies, all I see down there is people. You know, you go down there and eat, and I'm sitting down here, I'm going, I wonder what that person does. I've been doing this 20 years, and I go in the examiners of public accounts, nobody in there. I go in DHR, and it's overflowing with people. And then I get back home, and I say, what's DHR done? Well, I hadn't heard anything good. Now, I'm sure they do some good things, but majority of time I see, you know, they go in and take these kids away or something, and then you find out, well, what's going on here? Won't give them to the grandparents that probably should have them, probably raised them anyway. The mother's on dope, the daddy's in jail or prison, and somebody wants to keep them that's good, and they send them to, you know, exactly. Louisiana or something. So, I mean, what is DHR doing? I want to know what DHR is doing. I want to know why we even have ADEM. We have the health department already. Okay, so I want to combine those two agencies. That could, I'm not going to fire everybody in Montgomery. We're going to freeze all the hiring. So we're not going to hire a lottery. God help us. You know, we're not going to hell for playing a lottery. Okay.
So when we get back, we may talk about the lottery for a few minutes, and because Danielle always makes me go to Tennessee and buy lottery tickets and scratchies, and look, we always have a good time. You're listening to Stacey George, Marvelous Melvin Haston, and this is Big D on Understanding the Law. We'll be back in just a moment.
Hey guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089, 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Are you having trouble seeing your computer screen? Are the traffic signs looking a little fuzzy? Are the things that you used to be able to see looking just a little out of focus? Dr. Wayne Fuller has been helping Coleman see better for years, and he's still located on 2nd Avenue between the Catholic Church and Highway 278. You can call his friendly staff at 256-734-1121, and they'll be happy to get you seeing better, whether it's with contacts, glasses designed just for you, or a low-cost alternative to LASIK. Again, Dr. Wayne Fuller is available at 256-734-1121.
We've spent a lot of time on this. The investigation is finally over. We uncovered several leads, and we have finally found it. We have found what every small business in Coleman has been looking for. Fiber optic quality internet is here. Utilizing cutting edge radio technology, Cyber Broadband is now able to offer fiber optic quality internet in the immediate downtown Coleman area and most Coleman industrial parks. More information is available by calling Cyber Broadband 256-734-1077, 256-734-1077, or on the web at cyberbroadband.net.
Welcome back. Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. You're listening to Understanding the Law, a show taking your questions about how the law affects you. A show that is a deep discussion on the most common topics that come up in a law office and how the system of law works right here in Coleman County. If you have a question about the law, give us a call here at the Live 95 studio at 256-737-9505. This program is made possible by the support of local Coleman attorney Melvin Haston. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And now, once again, here's your host for Understanding the Law, Big D, Daryl Netherly.
Welcome back to Understanding the Law. We have Melvin Haston and Stacey George in the studio. So, Melvin, let me just be blunt with you. Do you ever play the lottery?
Yes. Stacey, we all pray for him Sunday in church.
I forget. And actually, this last time when I was down in Gulf Shores, I can't believe it. Usually I go across past Florabama and go down to Florida. We done that last time.
There's a service station right there right past Florabama. We went there and got some scratchies. But, you know, look, there's different opinions, whatever. And
I mean,
I play it.
You don't have to play it. That's what I'm saying. That's what I tell people. I said, you don't have to. I said, we're losing between $200 and $250 million a year, okay, that we could capture. Oh, yeah. Mississippi doesn't even have a lottery. A lot of people don't realize that, but they got full-blown gambling like we do in Alabama. They just do it at the Porch Creek Indians, you know, and things of that nature. So undercover, we're still gambling. So anyway, but Mississippi would all come over here to play the lottery because a lot of people would rather play the lottery than play full-blown gambling. They'd come over here and spend a lot of money in Alabama. So we're guessing $200-$250 million. It could go higher. And that's a lot of money to educate kids, working-class people, you know, get the kids an education like in Georgia And there's a lot of poor people in Alabama. And they say, well, the poorest people play the lottery. Well, okay, well, we're going to take the people that are the poorest people that are paying for the lottery, and we're going to educate their grandchildren and their children with that money. So is that called a sin tax, just like alcohol?
Right.
It's a tax. Exactly. It's exactly a sin right. tax. So exactly if you want right. to call it whatever you want to call it, if you think it's a sin, then we'll call it a sin tax. But we need to get that money and put it on the ballot, and we can pass it in Alabama. About 60, the poll numbers show between 62-68% of the people would approve a lottery in a November.
I believe it. I mean, everybody wants it, but for somehow it's always got shot down.
Well, it does. The Poarch Creek Indians give this money, these politicians down there, to keep it off the ballot. And then they say, well, let's rile the churches up. So then they go down right. here and rile them up. And then the Choctaw Indians send money probably into the churches to keep it off the ballot, you know, or to keep right, it, to defend right. it, you know, so defend the thing. So I'm just sitting here going, it's just a big hypocrisy. We play the drawdowns at these schools. You go in here and you have this drawdown. Right. What's this? You go in the store, local store, and down in Lacey Spring right now, yeah, I called down, talked to the Attorney General's office, and apparently on local issues, I just found out that when Governor Bentley was in, he took the power away from the Attorney General on being able to go in over local sheriffs and local DAs. And I didn't know that. But one of the ladies in the Attorney General's office, I called Steve, and I said, man, I just want to tell you what's going on in Lacey Spring. It looks like full-blown Tunica down there. And, you know, you go down to the right off 231. We're advertising for them, right? They're on the right. And I said, I called our district attorney, Scott Anderson, and I talked to him. And, of course, the sheriff down there, I haven't talked to her, but everybody had already turned it into her. I know. Everybody knows about it, you know. So I go by there every morning. I go by there in the morning, you know, going to work. And, man, it'll be like, it looks like Tunica on the right. But it's some kind of, I met the lady that had the machines, and she said, I just want to make sure you tell them. She's on my Facebook. I don't want to mention her name. She lives in Gunnersville, but she's from Nashville. But she had some machines. She brought them down here, going to open them up sometime. Well, anyway, she didn't pay the storage fee. So she lost the machine, so they auctioned them off in 2 weeks. They had it up and running.
Oh, wow.
So they're saying it's bingo. But, you know, this, I'm just sitting here going, y'all, you know, you've got coin machines in the store. You drop a coin in, and, gosh, you might get four. I mean, we're just fooling ourselves. And it's silly. It's silly, you know. But we got 105 legislators. We got 35 state senators down there. I know every one of them. And I know basically which way they're going to move on which issue. So I think I could pass things. You know, some things I can do by executive order. Prison reform. You know, about one out of four people know somebody in prison, you know, that's a family member or something. And it may be some just minor charge. You know, we need to make, you know, the schedule's different on the, you know, the drugs, you know, from the marijuana charge, it should probably be like a DUI, you know, something of that nature. Right. So, I mean, we got people locked up for some real strange things, because I'll be in prison tomorrow, and, you know, I'm looking at them going, we're giving $18,000 to house them here a year, and probably 50% of them could go out and get a job. Some of them we need to keep in there, these rapists, these pedophiles, things like this. We need to fill the prison up with these folks and study them and test them and see if we can get a better job of law enforcement identifying them. Because I've looked at them. I can probably pick one out in Walmart, I feel like now. You know, I'm sitting here right. looking at them. I see them for 8 years, and they don't all look alike, but they act alike. They're usually real – they want power and control in the prison system, wherever they're at. They don't want to be shut down. They want to be loose. They're usually try to be runners for somebody in the prison. They want to prestigious job, and they want power over somebody, whether it's power over the mop bucket, okay, or whatever. It's the silliest stuff, but they want power. And you can tell, and they're usually very intelligent, and it's amazing, you know, but you watch them, and I think, you know what, if we could segregate these sex offenders into these areas and let them take part of this program, because some of them will say, if I get out, I'd do it again. Believe it or not, I have some of them said, I'm guilty of this. I got a problem. And I don't know whether it's a demon or what's in me, but I'm going to do this again. I don't want to get out. But I said, well, would you do a program that would help identify more people like you? He said, sure, I would. So there's wow. people in there that would do that, you know. And most of them say, I didn't do it, you know. But there are people in there that says, I did do it, and, you know, I would do it again. So we can't let those folks out.
No way. I just can't imagine being a correction officer and dealing with the different types of people in there. Because I would just get ticked off quick, you know, just knowing what they've done, Melvin.
Yeah, and you always got to watch your back, man. You just,
don't you know
you,
it?
You know, I mean, you never know when somebody's got something that's going
to a plastic run it right fork, and they're trying to wear you out with it.
Yeah, but the worst part—that's what I'm talking about. Working in the prison is the, of course, you got your a lot of times. You have different bosses come in and out. Of course, I've made a lot of enemies in Montgomery. And so lately, you know, I've done everything but clean the toilets at the prison, you know. You go down and you fight the prison bill and everybody wants a new prison. And, you know, then you get back out and they go, what are you going to be doing today? Well, you know, you're going to be down here counting the, you know, the turds at the pond, you know, the cesspool pond. You know what I mean? So anyway, I don't get the best jobs at the prison, but I keep on working. But you know, it's been tough. You know, you file an ethics charge against the sitting governor, and then you got a governor now that's thinking about, you know, running for re-election. So technically, she's my boss. So right. I'm really running against the commissioner who was appointed by the governor right in the chain of events. So, you know, it makes it tough, you know, really. You got a picture of when I come in the wall, you know, here she is, you know, right here looking at me when I come in. I go, who are you running? I'm running as her, you know. So,
well, she's still unannounced, though, isn't she?
Yeah. She's formed the exploratory committee, and then Twinkle dropped back, Twinkle Anders, which is on the PSC, President PSC. She dropped back to the, you know, the lieutenant governor spot. So I think she's on the end and knows what's going on. So I think she realized that they don't really want, I guess she didn't want to run two females against all these, you know, multitude of men and right. split the vote up. So I think she pulled back to try to, you know, hold into that lieutenant governor slot. And I think you're going to see some more if Governor Ivey formally signs that name. And that's what I want, because you go up to people with money trying to raise money. And, you know, I'm not – we got one guy that's kind of an evangelist, I think a youth minister or something, running. And he's – yeah, he's going around to these, you know, the church folks. He's in that group where he can raise a little bit of money.
Scott Dawson.
Yeah, Scott Dawson. See, he'd be a good guy. You know, you got Lieutenant Governor. You got, of course, the Mayor Battle. He's going to raise money because he's the mayor of Huntsville. If he doesn't right. run for that, he'll drop back and run for mayor again. So you've got people, you know, in these races that are wealthy. But I think what's going to happen is they're going to drop out. And my key is going to be when my book comes out, and I lay this down, you know, to a group of investors and people that look at this thing, and they're going to go, you know what? He's got an AMID statewide. He's been out here. He's not going away. He's been a county commissioner. He's a correction officer. He understands law and order. And I think people are fed up with it. I think they're going to say, you know what? This book's Corruption in the Heart of Dixie, and for 20 years, this guy's tried to do something. And he's been doing something. And even if he's not in elected office, I mean, I go down and put some real serious pressure on these legislators, threaten them and everything else. Not threaten them personally, but just threaten them politically. You know, like Matt McCutcheon. You know, I took Matt McCutcheon on. And I said, you're going to get beat next time. I'm going to try to find somebody to run against you, Speaker of the House. I said, it's pitiful. You go down here and try to pass this prison bill. Then you turn around and try to pass gas tax on people. You know, we already got price gouging going on. You can see it. And and I can say that Governor Ivey said she's going to declare war on these people price gouging. And I appreciate that.
No,
so when she does something, I appreciate that. But I would appreciate if she go down and tear that, you know, get a bulldozer and run over that wall down in Birmingham too. So, you know, I'll brag on her and say you could do more. But, and she could also take it back, that annual reappraisal. You know, maybe she's listening to me. She could take that annual reappraisal. It's done under executive order. She could take that back there for 4 years with a stroke of a pen right now.
Exactly.
So that could be done. IGT in the prison system, is you could take that from 15 to 20. Siegelman, when he was in office, took it from 20 back down to 15, the IGT incentive good time. So you could up that to 20 and clear the prison out, you know, under, you know, 20-year sentences. And that wouldn't affect, you know, these pedophiles and people of that nature or anything. And it would allow incentive good time, which make it safer for us, you know, as officers. So if you got some good time, that doesn't mean they're going to get out in that amount of time. It just means we can hold something kind of over their head to where they need to act right,
right,
you know. So, but, you know, the lottery, we'd lose the money on it. We just, I talked about the health department, history and heritage, prison reform. Now, the security detail I have will be one member of every, you know, like the ethics commission is going to be there, a state trooper, a correctional officer, former lieutenant will actually be over my security team. I'm going to have somebody, you know, the ABI, you know, the ABC, the DOC, the parole board, a member of the parole board, a parole officer, you know, under the parole board. So I want to have everybody in my security detail that that's connecting to law enforcement, that connects us all together, so we can get on the radio and say, hey, you know what? What's going on at the prison today? Because this will be what Governor Church does. I'm going to ride around the state, and we're going to try to bring business in. We're going to fly them into Huntsville. I'm going to have a big ginseng patch that grows abundantly in North Alabama, about less than 30 minutes from the airport. We're going to take everybody from China, Japan, these countries that believe in this, you know, as medicine, as they almost think of it as God in their country. So we're going to bring them over here, give them Alabama football and Auburn football made by the prison, of nice football like it's in Trump Towers right now. Newt has two of them too as well. But we're going to give them something to remember Alabama. We're going to make them smile when they come to Alabama, and then talk about the industry that I've worked in for years, 10 years at Wiley Laboratories, working for Boeing, my last project, a year and a half, before I got in politics, nuclear power plants all over the United States. Last one was in Louisiana. We have done Boeing, Lockheed Martin, SCI, Javelin Longbow. I worked 3 years Department of Defense, NASA. I've been in Avskirt and Martin Marietta, Denver, Colorado, up there in the space shuttle in the fuel tank with the gear on, laying strain gauges. So I understand all the network of all these businesses here too, you know, in the Department of Defense, Javelin, Longbow, Hellfire, all those. I've held them in my hand. So I know all these people. So from that aspect, we got business opportunities, but we also need to be creative. And it's just like you said, we don't have to go in here and offer people the whole kitchen sink, you know, the washer and dryer and everything, because you got the lowest property tax, one of the lowest property taxes in the United States already. You already know that when you come here. All we need is to get a lottery, get these kids a 2-year degree first. You know, we want to give them 2 years toward a 4-year degree, but we want skilled labor, even in the prison system. I got a plan to get them. They already have Calhoun locked in with them. We want to get a 2-year welding degree, electronics, electronic machinery maintenance, electricity, brick masonry, welding, vehicle maintenance, things that we need. Get some skilled labor in here. So we need to go out and find out what an industry wants. You know, that right. Like at 3M, we want to expand it. What do you need? Well, I need 10 welders. I need 20 to start it off. Then I'm going to need some machinery maintenance guys. I'm going to need electronic maintenance guys or gals or whatever. And so we know what we need. So we get a ready-made workforce for our kids. Right. So they don't have to go to Georgia, you know, Atlanta, Georgia, or Florida or somewhere else to get a job, that they could get this job that pays high wages. We talked about that. Skilled labor pays more now because the baby boomers are dying than the regular 4-year degrees.
Right.
So, you know, we need to get our kids working, and we could do that. You know, all you have to do is talk to these folks. You know?
Exactly. So we just got to get you on the campaign trail hot and heavy and get you moving around Alabama.
We're waiting Bo to come back. You know, Bo Shedd from here in Coleman is my campaign manager. He's in India right now saving souls. So he's doing a great thing for God, and it's an amazing thing. Bo's a good guy. And he said, when we get back in September, we're going to start smoking them Boston butts. You know, you hear Bo. I said, well, Bo, we're going to have to get some money to buy them Boston butts. I said, we about run out of money. So he said, well, and the bottom line is, I think my book comes out. We'll take it around, and, you know, I'll, do some autographing books, do some book signings. We hope to have it out November 1st as a goal, have it printed, the first book. And so that way I can just set this down to people and say, okay, this is what I've already done. Now, these other politicians are going to say, well, this is what I'm going to do, or this is what I'm going to do. Well, what have you already done? And like with me, now I was county commissioner 8 years, but for another 12 years here, I hadn't been a county commissioner. So what was you doing in this time? Well, I was sitting down here opposing these things, these prison bills, these, the governor. I asked for him to resign. I filed ethics. We found him guilty. Jim Ziegler worked with me. We worked together. What is these other folks that were citizens that were sitting here going, well, you know what, I might run. Well, why don't you ask the governor to resign so it doesn't hurt business here?
Right.
And then Lieutenant Governor Ivy, you know, she's done some good things. But the point being is, where was she at when I was down there? I was looking at her. I was thinking, would you ask the governor to resign? Maybe that put a little pressure on him. You know, to resign, but nobody said nothing. It's like crickets, man. The Senate pro temp, Dale Marsh, good guy. Nope. Nobody says nothing.
Well, that's the way it is in Montgomery, and when we get back, we'll talk about Montgomery a few more minutes and talk about getting Stacey George on the campaign trail. Maybe me and Melvin will
We'll fit you on back that little trailer if y'all mind riding. I got that little trailer I dragged behind it.
Look, Melvin, you got a little spatula or something. Maybe when you can flip some hamburgers or something.
We'll go find all those chickens we was talking about. The chicken houses.
That's a good point. Yeah,
we'll be back in just a moment with Understanding the Law.
Spent a lot of time on this. The investigation is finally over. We uncovered several leads, and we have finally found it. We have found what every small business in Cullman has been looking for. Fiber optic quality internet is here. Utilizing cutting-edge radio technology, Cyber Broadband is now able to offer fiber optic quality internet in the immediate downtown Cullman area and most Cullman industrial parks. More information is available by calling Cyber Broadband, 256-734-1077, 256-734-1077, or on the web at cyberbroadband.net. Hey guys, let's face it. We all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best, so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089, 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Are you having trouble seeing your computer screen? Are the traffic signs looking a little fuzzy? Are the things that you used to be able to see looking just a little out of focus? Dr. Wayne Fuller has been helping Cullman see better for years, and he's still located on 2nd Avenue between the Catholic Church and Highway 278. You can call his friendly staff at 256-734-1121, and they'll be happy to get you seeing better, whether it's with contacts, glasses designed just for you, or a low-cost alternative to LASIK. Again, Dr. Wayne Fuller is available at 256-734-1121.
Welcome back. Live 95 is Cullman's independent radio. You're listening to Understanding the Law, a show taking your questions about how the law affects you. A show that is a deep discussion on the most common topics that come up in a law office and how the system of law works right here in Cullman County. If you have a question about the law, give us a call here at the Live 95 studio at 256-737-9505. This program is made possible by the support of local Cullman attorney Melvin Hastings. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And now, once again, here's your host for Understanding the Law, Big D, Daryl Netherly.
Welcome back to Understanding the Law. We have Cullman attorney, Marvelous Melvin Hastings, and Stacey George running for governor of Alabama. So he's got all kind of ideas and things that he's going to do if elected. And sounds like a lot of great things. But, you know, I mean, every day when you wake up, there's something new that you can do down in Montgomery.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's just incredible.
Yeah, I wonder, Stacey would probably know the answer to this, because I'm always big about the budget things. I can tell Stacey's big about the money and the wasteful things. So when they go to, when the legislative session starts, I mean, I guess the governor goes to his department heads and says, all right, give me your budget, how much money you want, and then that's it. Does he or she even look into it? Does anybody really consider
what they need?
Why they need that much money? If I'm the person over at the Department of Corrections, let's say, and I say I want $500 million. Does the governor or anybody say, well, why do you need 500? We gave you 480 last year. Why do you need 500 million?
Right.
Well, they come in. What I've watched them do is they'll come in and they'll start debating these things in the legislature. Now, I don't know what happens in the department head because, you know, he appoints my boss, which is the correction, Department of Corrections, Dunn. And I really don't have a problem with Dunn. He seems to be a nice guy. I don't agree with him on a lot of issues. But you got him, and then you got the you know, you got the LEA director, you got every, you know, public, you know, ADEM, you know, you got your different cabinet members, you got DHR, you got all these different things going on. So he appoints all these people. So I don't know whether before, but I could use the DOC budget because I've watched it for the last several years, but they'll take it in, then they'll talk to the legislature and they'll say, well, what do you think you can make it with this? And it would take this much to get our employees to this rate, or we need to build these new, usually prisons is just overwhelmed it because $1.5 billion is just, they're talking about that and they're looking at me going, what do you think? I said, well, my gosh, man, I mean, you give $1.5 billion and we're losing officers every day, you probably need to look at readjusting the officer's salary. I mean, I hate to be personal about it because, I mean, I am one of the officers, but, I mean, the bottom line is you're paying us, you know, $38,000 a year, you're paying the state troopers $55,000, you know, something like that. So there needs to be a closer gap in the pay there, and you might be able to recruit and retain officers. Right now we're working overtime every day. There's probably 10 officers going to St. Clair. The CERT team's down there every other week at night shift. They're paying overtime just unbelievable. Every day, if I wanted to work every day at that prison, I could on my off days. So that's what I probably start doing, you know, making, if we don't raise a lot of money, I said, Bo, I'm going to go to prison and make some overtime money so we can stay on the campaign trail. So I guess the state will be, you know, actually doing, but the bottom line is we could work every day if we wanted to. They're wrong working lieutenants, captains, because we're so shorthanded because they can't keep people.
Well, yeah, it's on, well, I seen it on Facebook today or whatever, it was AO.com. It's prison beer correctional officer in Alabama, blah, blah, blah. I mean, they're advertising like crazy. I mean,
well, you lose them because, I mean, you start talking about, you know, and I said, we don't need to build new prisons. We just need to staff the ones we have. And then we could probably look at maybe, you know, State and Elmore and Draper, go ahead and combine some of those, you know.
So what made you want to be a correction officer?
Well,
that's what I want to know.
Well, this is the deal. You know, after running, you know, making that bad decision, I was county commissioner, and I wasn't APO certified. You know, so when I went off the county commission, I immediately just went down and applied because I wanted to work for the second largest budget in the state because I still wanted to run for governor. So I was thinking I could still fix this state, and I was thinking in my mind, this is the second largest budget, so I need to get a handle on it, so I would probably be the top person. You know, everybody running, nobody else could say they're in the prison. So it's the second largest budget behind Medicaid. So I said, that was my thinking. I could get APO certified, go around, you know, I could be able to be APO certified with a shotgun, and a 40 cal Glock, just like the state troopers or city police or county deputies. And so, we have rest power on state property, but I don't have to worry about writing a ticket down, going down the road, right, going too fast when I might be going too fast myself a little bit, you know. Like, you know, I'm just real, you know. I'm just one of these real people. I said, you know, I'm just glad I didn't end up in prison or jail because during my lifetime, I've done some things that probably could have landed me there. You know, made some bad decisions when I was young.
We all have.
Drinking and driving or something, you're thinking, gosh, you wouldn't think about it when you're younger. But, you know, so that's why I tried to tell my son. I said, son, whatever you got on your mind, you just tell me, and I'm not going to be mad at you. You know, just say it, and I'll just tell you if I've already done it, and if I have, I'm going to tell you why you don't need to do it.
Right.
You know, but the point being is we have to be real, and that's what people need to be. Politicians need to be real. Kind of like Trump. Trump's real, whether you like him or not. He's just real.
He is.
He's the real deal. You know, I mean, it's, if you ask him something, you might not like what he says, but he's just real. That's the way he sees it. Right. It may not be correct every time, but that's the way he sees it. And when it's all shakes out, it ends up that way. But, you know, health care was another big issue. You know, we've talked about this increase in Obamacare. We can't do it. And I've been working with a group of people. I'm going to challenge that the 14th Amendment, that I think that we could challenge that as far as Alabama paying, you know, they've determined the Supreme Court, you may know this, Mr. Hayes, as the it's a tax. The Supreme Court did rule that it was a tax. So under the 14th Amendment, we're supposed to be equally taxed. So from state to state, we're not equally taxed because in Arizona, it's very high. Alabama, it's high, but not as high as Arizona. And in Kentucky, the rates are lower. So every state has been, you can't tax states individually at different rates. So I don't think they argued that the Supreme Court. So as governor, I would do that. I'd also get three competitors, or at least two competitors for Blue Cross Blue Shield, try to get them to come into Alabama, and I'd audit the books of the Blue Cross Blue Shield. I've talked to some people. Yeah, I talked to several of the people with over health care. David Spiller's down in Huntsville, and he said, yeah, I won't tell you what he said, but somebody said when meeting with these folks said we need to audit the books of Blue Cross Blue Shield.
We'll have to build some more prisons then.
He started auditing the books of these
All right, so look, we have a caller. Brenda is calling in, and I'm actually going to give you my headphones, Stacy, since we're short, and let you listen to her question, and then I'll let you directly answer it and get my headphones back.
According to which Brenda it is, she may lie here. Hey, man, we'll repeat it either way.
All right, Brenda, you're on with Stacy George. Go ahead and ask your question.
Hey, guys. How are y'all?
We're doing good.
Okay. Well, I've got a question. When he said, Mr. George said that, you know, Trump is real. Yes, he's real. Very real on Twitter and everything else. But my problem is with him is that, and like most politicians, they will run on a certain ticket, like the abortion ticket. I'm totally against abortion.
Me too.
I'm a pro-lifer. But they run on that ticket. They get elected. Some people vote for him just because of that issue. And I'm sorry, it's been legal since 1973, 74. That's an issue that's not going to change. It's always going to be that way.
Right.
And for them to run on that ticket and try to claim that they're going to get that overturned, and they just get votes off of it, especially in the deep Bible Belt, that people vote for a politician just because of that.
Right.
I would much rather see someone run on something that's tangible.
Right, exactly. That's the reason the things I talk about are real issues, things that I can do by executive order or things that I can pass through the legislature. And, you know, you may agree with them or not agree with them, but the point being I'm going to do exactly, and I've done that for 20 years, exactly what I say. So if you got anything as far as me, but basically what she's saying is she's basically saying that Trump, you know, you run on different things, and, you know, he said he was going to try to overturn the abortion issue, and nothing's happened on that, and pull votes in. But now, the way I look at it, in a November election, you didn't have two choices, and, I mean, you know where Hillary Clinton was at on that issue. So I guess
but
my
I
thing
I believe you should not vote for a politician just because of one issue.
Oh, I agree with you on that.
With that issue, you know, there's so many that do, and if that issue's not going to, I'm sorry, it's never going to be overturned. As much as I'd like for it to be, it's not. So these ones that run on that issue, and at least Hillary was honest. I mean, she may not believe in abortion.
Right.
Just because a politician doesn't say that they're going to try to overturn it does not mean that they are for it. And I think people get that wrong.
Right, and I agree with you. They all run on. When I get ready to run, that'll be one of the questions. You know, how do you feel about abortion? We can't do anything really about it. Now, Alabama has in the past. I got a good friend, James Henderson. He's one of my best friends in the world, over in Somerville. And, you know, he's been able to shut down abortion clinics and move them around, you know, different areas. I tell them in Alabama, we don't fight it, but we move them around. And they pass laws, you know, about being too close to
and
schools.
Another issue I have.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you.
That's okay. You. Go ahead.
Well, another question is, I've always believed, I'm a retired school teacher, just retired.
Right.
And what upsets me, of course, is the lack of pay and how that's getting great teachers. And how retirees are being treated, because I just got my first retirement check and it's sad.
Right.
But I believe there needs to be there's a monopoly on insurance companies.
Yes.
And I feel like the more competition we have, just like with everything else, the better off we'll be.
And that's what I said earlier. And, you know, I am a state employee, and I say this publicly. Teachers, if you want to win, you know, Alabama and Auburn's got it right. They have Alabama has the highest paid, I think, coach in the United States now. And we win football games, but we don't want to pay our teachers what we need to pay them. We're going to have to pay teachers more money. State employees, not all of them are not working out there. You know, I'm a state employee. I don't have to work it hard, but the job we sit and have to do, if we do have to do something, we may end up dead. So state employees do work, teachers work, but, you know, this lottery, part of this lottery plan will be to increase teacher salary, too. It's all on my website, StacyLeeGeorge.com. So all these things I talk about is on there. But with
I have a question for Melvin also.
Yeah, go ahead. Here's Melvin. Let me give
Melvin, have you brought up more about the PHIP, the AEA lawsuit?
Go ahead and ask one more time, Brenda.
Have you read up on and got more informed about the lawsuit that we have against PHIP and how they overturned it?
Yes and no. I did. Whenever you brought it up the other night, I looked it up and read about it. And I'm trying to remember how the judge, he ruled in your favor.
The judge ruled for us.
That's what I was thinking. The circuit judge ruled in your favor, and they have appealed it to the Court of Civil Appeals.
I think Supreme Court, I thought.
Probably, yeah, you're right. Anyway. It'll be the Supreme Court. It is to the Supreme Court of Alabama.
So how long does that usually take? Will I be alive before it's decided?
Man, that is something major that I figure they probably want to get it right. it would be pushing to get a decision by December, but I would think by early spring you'll have a decision.
As long as I'm still living.
Yeah. There'll be a decision on there, you know, and the thing that people's got to, like I've said before, when you get to appeals court, it's not like a new trial or nothing like that. It's all pure legal stuff. Facts do play in it a little bit, but it's more about legal rambling. Do you have the right to do it? Do you have the standing to do it?
Well, if that's the case, then we should win it.
Yes, this was a judge's decision, not a jury's decision. So a judge's decision is presumed, there is a presumption of correctness in there. So when the Supreme Court looks at it, you know, there'll be briefs filed from both sides. And when the Supreme Court looks at it, they'll say, you know, the whole thing is, did the judge abuse his discretion or did he get it right? You know, but they'll also look at the legal issues. It'll be kind of interesting to see how that plays out.
Right. All right. Thank you. Thanks,
right.
guys.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for calling in, Brenda.
She brings up a good point. You know, with health care, like I said, we're going to have some people in that competes with Blue Cross Blue Shield. The CEOs, a lot of people in the that I met with one-on-one say that we need to audit the books of Blue Cross Blue Shield. We also need to, you know, repeal this. We need to challenge this in court of the fact, maybe take some hairstyle or somebody that doesn't get insurance premiums, small business people, maybe even attorneys that do not get that coverage. They're under this Obamacare that are being disenfranchised according to Kentucky, and I use Arizona. Kentucky being lower, Arizona being higher. But you can't tax a state, the people of the citizens of a state, differently. And I think that's what the 14th Amendment's about. And I think they didn't argue that right. It's all in how you argue. And as an attorney, he knows that, Mr. Hastings, because if you don't argue it right, then you're not going to get the right outcome. And it's just like you said, it's going to be a legal issue. And if you find a legal problem with it, and I think that as governor of Alabama, that's what I do, would start the process of going to the Supreme Court ultimately on this issue and say our citizens are being disenfranchised according to other citizens, and that's a different angle because obviously the politicians don't have a backbone. Republicans don't in D.C. So, I mean, you know, you got to do your own thing.
All right. Yeah. Well, Stacy, thanks for being on Understanding the Law again.
Well, I appreciate that. I hate to talk so much, but I get so mad sometimes. I get in here. Y'all get me on one of these mad days. You know, I get in here and I get frustrated. You know, we took off Labor Day, so I try not to do much. And we haven't done nothing the last probably week or two, waiting on Bo to get back. So, I had to get back on the campaign trail, and we're going to be able to compete statewide, you know, regardless of the amount of money. We want to have more money. StacyLeeGeorge.com. You can go on there. You can donate money.
Donate.
$10, you know, $20. You say, how far will that go? That'll go a long way with me because nobody on my staff is paid. So, I mean, everything you do, everybody's volunteers. The website guy, it's as good a website as Trump's, StacyLeeGeorge.com. And everything I've been able to do is from the person filing it to everything, there's no overhead. So all it does is get Stacy George from this county to the next county. Doesn't buy any clothes for me. You know, I wear the shoes that I buy myself. But it gets me some gas money in the tank and keep me spreading the message of career politicians need to go. And everybody, regardless what they say, I'm not a politician. But they are. The minute you enter politics, whether you're a youth minister or whatever you are, you are a politician. That's it.
Well, so when Bo gets back, we'll all get together, maybe me and you and Melvin and Bo, we'll get something going.
We'll barbecue some Boston butts.
Yeah. We'll do that.
Talk about this stuff.
Exactly.
Bo will talk. All we got to do is cook, Bo. Bo's going to do the talking. He'll do all the talking, so that's good. But we're excited.
Good,
appreciate y'all having me on.
Wonder how many miles you've put on. You
need 204,000. What I got on this car?
On this car, he'll have a million miles by June of next year.
I blew out four vehicles. This is my last vehicle.
Lord,
yeah, 204,000 today. Yeah,
there goes the value of that car. I'll be buying it cheap from you pretty soon.
Yeah, I got to pay it off first. It's still not paid off yet. That's bad. I'm in the bucket on my car, too, by the way. Anybody wants to donate old mule to me, man, country boy, will go on and try to get it going, old mule.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate you being on Understanding the Law. And
thank you.
Pretty soon, it looks like we'll have Luther Strange on here and probably several other politicians. Hey, this is nothing but a state politician show now, Melvin. So...
Well, that's a good thing. I appreciate it because people need to hear it. You know?
I guess after the election, we'll go back to a law show.
I'd give us all a break.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll be cooking hot dogs here pretty soon with Stacey George.
I got to get those hot dogs donated now. Yeah, we got to have something donated to cook.
Big D's going
to
take care of your hot dogs.
There you go. You take care of the hot dogs.
I can't you. Find some from the Morgan County Sheriff's.
He don't feed. He don't feed the bulls.
Well, that corn dog truck turned over, you know, and they got half of them. And I said, "Why didn't you give half of them to me? I could have sold them." You know.
Next time a tornado comes, we'll have free chickens.
Chicken,
as soon as they hit the chicken houses,
man. We got We'll take whatever we got to do. You know, I told Bo we got to do something. You know, we got these hats, these autographed hats,
exactly.
Like I got on. We selling them, but
exactly.
But the book comes out. It's gonna. I think it'll make the difference. It'll be the turning point.
Awesome. So you can check us out this coming Thursday night on the Big D Radio Show. We have several guests lined up. Danielle has a list, but I don't have it in front of me. But we are going to have Steve James back as the co-host and several others. And then the next Tuesday, Melvin will be going solo without Big D. And next Thursday, we will have a guest host on the Big D Radio Show as we possibly go on vacation and hope that Irma stays away. You're listening to Understanding the Law with Coleman attorney Melvin Hasten and Stacey George. We will see you next time.